The following programming is sponsored by PhillyLabor.com. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420. Jim Snell, business manager.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence completing the job on time, under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union community. Wayne Miller, business manager.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account with convenient locations throughout our city of brotherly love. Also online at pfcu.com with free online and mobile banking. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Plumbers Local 690 proudly promotes, supports, and endorses the belief plumbers protect the health of the nation. The highly skilled workers of Plumbers Local 690 specialize in commercial and residential work. Plumbers Local 690 workers work on stadium projects and the largest corporate projects and your residential property. Plumbers Local 690, George P. Graham, business manager. God bless America.
Hey everyone, this is Krause of Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, proudly presented by Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard. Buying your next car online is just a call, click, or email away. Let Jim Stevenson handle your union family's next purchase right from the convenience of your home. Email Jim right now at jstevenson@chapmanautogroup.com. Remember, if you're a member of the building trades, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000, option number 6. If your union is a member of the AFL-CIO, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000. Buy your next vehicle or lease your fleet right now online from the only man in Philadelphia that has supported every union effort with unconditional effort. Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard says, union yes. Get the Stevenson difference. He supports and drives the union community. IATSE, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. What it means is simple. Every large-scale event in the city of Philadelphia on the Parkway, at the Wells Fargo Center, the Convention Center, or in the Kimmel Center is created and executed by IATSE. These dedicated union members proudly serve the city of Philadelphia and the millions of people that are directly affected by their work. IATSE Local Number 8, Mike Barnes, President and Business Manager.
Saturday afternoon. Welcome in, everyone, to the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Glad you're with us. Glad to be here on a Saturday afternoon, J-Doc, right in the middle of December. I guess we're still in the beginning of December, but all the hustle and bustle of the holidays is in front of us. And our two labor guests today are that will join us, both of their unions represent being a necessity this time of year. In fact, most times when they come on, I guess, their unions are a necessity, no matter what time of year it is, but certainly in the month of December.
Well, How are you doing, brother? Yeah, so we got, you know, great guests, James DeRitter, who is the president, American Postal Workers Union, Local 7048. Obviously, busy time of year for our postal workers. You know, they do a phenomenal job, and they're getting beat up big time by their own Postmaster General. We'll get updates. It's a festive time of year now, but we're also doing some. We have some guests on that are going to be doing some recapping. Okay, and so nobody's busier than the postal workers right now, and we appreciate everything they do, especially under the conditions that they're doing it. So it's always great to have James on, particularly this time of year. So we'll be getting some great updates on what's going on there. And then, of course, we have Wendell Young, who's a staple on this show, president, UFCW 1776. You talk about a workforce also, represents the wine and spirits workers, employees, what represents the retail workers and the Acme's, the people that work at the Acme's, and all the food stores across the state. And they're real busy right now. He's got a vast workforce that he represents and does as good a job as any union leader in the country. So Wendell's going to get on and talk a lot about what's going on there. We're also going to talk a little politics with Wendell. And, so lots to talk about, lots going on, Joe. And it's a festive time of year. Ecstatic to be live here at WWDB Talk 860 on the Labor Show.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I do want to take a moment, J-Doc, if I can, just to shout out Wednesday of this week. As you know, we gathered... when I say we, Councilman Mike Driscoll and the City of Philadelphia, President of the AFL-CIO, Danny Bowder, joined us, and Michael Smith, the Executive Director from Cradles to Crayons, as the City of Philadelphia and the AFL-CIO came together again this year to declare Code Blue for children, our two-week blitz to collect kids' coats, which will all go to Cradles to Crayons and then be distributed accordingly. The press conference was Wednesday. Mike Driscoll was phenomenal. Danny Bowder was phenomenal. And the unions that are participating in this two-week blitz were looking to collect 20,000 coats in 2 weeks. I think the number from last year was about 14,000. So we have multiple locations set up around the city. As a matter of fact, the American Postal Workers Union set up in Darby is a drop-off collection or drop-off location for us. But it was just a great press conference on Wednesday. Got coverage from all of the media in the city. And I just think I want to shout out Mike Driscoll and Danny Bowder again, and also Michael Smith at Cradles for the work they do.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Joe, and I'm giving you a shout out as well, because this is such a passion for you. You've been doing Krause's coats for such a long time, and now Cradles to Crayons. And it's very timely, obviously. When you think about so many people in need right now, and so many young people. There's some great charities, Toys for Tots. I always give them a shout out, but individuals like yourself, who are making sure, obviously, during this holiday season, that the children in need don't miss out. But also, you talk about the homeless. Right now, it's freezing out. Okay, the weather. It's not even winter yet officially. It's not winter yet officially. And so, it's freezing out there, and you've been doing this a long time. And like you said, shout out to Danny Bowder.
22 years, Jake. I mean, if you can believe it, 360,000 plus coats collected, reconditioned, and distributed. And I don't do it for praise or acknowledgement or a pat on the back. I just do it because it's necessary to get it done. And the unions have always been so incredibly supportive. Next week, by the way, on the show, I want to spend a little bit of time. We've got our veterans Christmas party coming up, fully supported. And we measured up 245 veterans, and each veteran will receive a coat by size. That holiday party, I think it's the date on Saturday. I want to say it's the 22nd. We have a show that day. We're having a brunch from 10 to 2, and then we'll have a recap on our show that day. But again, it's as you said, when it gets cold on the coldest nights and coldest mornings of the year, man, it's so hard.
you know, on a lot of those people that are struggling. And it's, you know, I will do it until I leave this world.
And you know, what's amazing about it, when I think about, you mentioned Councilman Mike Driscoll and Danny Bowder, so many people are and our labor unions are passionate about it as well. But you're out there in the middle of the night a lot of times, you know, in not the most pleasant areas, making sure that those people who are, especially, I mean, and this is all winter long, but, you know, now more than ever, especially this holiday season and every holiday season, being out there and in some of the areas that, you know, K&A, where you know, we all know what's going on there, you know, you're out there and making sure that people who are in massive need, okay, at the most difficult point in any life, are at least have a coat to make sure that they, you know, don't freeze to death, for crying out loud. And so I'm shouting you out, and I always really admire you. I remember many times we've done the show. I think we did a couple, eight at night, and you were going out at 10, 11 o'clock with the coats that you collected, and you're giving them out there and sleeping bags. Remember the time we did the labor show and you did the announcement, and all the labor union leaders, we were called in. I felt like it was the Jerry Lewis telethon, man. I felt like...
It was unbelievable. It's the only year I've ever done it in terms of the sleeping bags. But, boy, I got to tell you, as you said, the union leaders were dialing in.
It was crazy.
You were fielding the call.
Yeah, it felt like it.
It was just rapid fire.
Absolutely. And by the way, that's what labor's all about. People who don't know Danny Bowder, he's the president of the Philadelphia Council, AFL-CIO. He's the head of the labor movement here in Philadelphia, took over for Pat Iding. And Mike Driscoll, city councilman Mike Driscoll, always obviously a big supporter of labor and all working people. So I think we're going to take a quick break, okay? And at the end of the break, we're going to have James the Ritter. So we're going to pay some bills right now, and we'll be back in just a minute with James the Ritter.
This is Wendell Young, president of UFCW Local 1776.
We proudly represent nearly 35,000 members who serve their communities at meatpacking and food processing plants, nursing homes, manufacturing plants, grocery stores, our fine wine and good spirit stores, and in the medical cannabis industry, among others. Our members earn fair wages and good benefits. We give workers a voice in their workplace. To learn more about our union, please visit UFCW1776.org.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
Hi, this is Mark Lynch, business manager, IBEW Local 98. Our members are the best educated, best trained electricians and technicians in the construction industry. Our electrical contractor partners do the job right. The first time, every time, safely, on time, and on budget. Find out why we're the best in the business. Visit us at www.IBEW98.org.
Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lehocky doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lehocky a call.
The great city of Philadelphia and its incredible skyline are being built in part by the sheet metal workers, Local Union 19. And did you know schools, libraries, and other public buildings you visit were built with help from the sheet metal workers? Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and hire a member of the sheet metal workers, Local Union 19. Their history dates back to the 1800s, serving 23 counties in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Sheet metal workers, Local Union 19, Brian Bush, business manager. Visit them on the web at smwlu19.org.
Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly skilled. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly trained. Ironworkers Local 401 members execute jobs that require structural steel, concrete structures, towers, and the highest part of a building you can see that is currently under construction. Ironworkers Local 401, a proud member of the Philadelphia Building Trades. Say thanks to a member of Ironworkers Local 401, Kevin Boyle, business manager.
And we're back here live on a Saturday afternoon. It's the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. We thank everybody for being with us today. Good show today, J-Doc. We've got two good guests joining us here for our next two main segments of the Labor Show.
Absolutely. Joe, and I will bring in James the Ritter, who's the president of the American Postal Workers Union, Local 7048. No stranger to the broadcast. James, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, my friend, and you guys are out there right now doing the tough work in the elements, and I know it's a very busy time of year, and like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, really in the face of a very difficult situation that you guys have been managing on behalf of your workforce. So, we've had a couple rallies during 2024. Let's do a little recap. In regards to 2024, first talk about our "We Won't Be Silenced" rally. Okay, the day of action on October 1st. What was that about? And what was the purpose of it? Remind our listeners, and at the same time, what were the results?
Yeah. So the day of action that we had on October 1st this year was a result of a resolution that we had passed at the national convention to get national APWU behind and organize rallies all across the country. We were already doing them a couple times throughout the year already, but we wanted to have a little bit more of a, impact. So I just wanted to give credit for them, to them too, for providing us, the grassroots movement that this started out on, giving us the tools and the materials for the, for the support. We rallied in over about 90 cities for the East Coast, the West Coast, thousands of postal workers, from hundreds of locals and, states across the country. We were there to promote vote by mail and advocate for a strong new contract with language to guarantee better staffing, demand postal management, treat all mail all year long with the same care and attention that election mail and ballots received during the election seasons. And also with the Postal Board of Governors, weren't allowing public comment period for this extended period of time throughout the year, to allow them to give us a voice, not just the public, but, employees to voice their concerns about this disastrous 10-year plan that we've been experiencing that's been resulting in mail delays and consolidations.
Well, it's interesting because you mentioned that we won't be silenced. Let's dissect that, the We Won't Be Silenced campaign, okay? First of all, I really, really shout out to all your members across the country, because everybody really, really got, engaged, okay? Let's talk about what the We Won't Be Silenced campaign means. So when you say we won't be silenced, and I know you just touched on it, but elaborate if you would. Who's being silenced and why?
So, a little quick background. The American people were being silenced, the public and the employees, when the Postal Board of Governors, I believe last year, announced that they were going to take a no public comment period in person and remotely. They were, at the time prior to them doing this, they were allowing you to Zoom in, register to, voice your concerns and speak via Zoom. And I don't know if this, it sounds like it's a conspiracy or something. I don't know, but we talked about this a little bit ago, but they decided to eliminate the public comment period while they were rolling out, the transportation optimization plan, different elements of the 10-year Delivering for America plan consolidations across the country. And we were really ramping up. So it didn't give the public a chance to voice any of their concerns about how their communities would be affected by these mail delays that we were seeing across the country. Some of it was, and We Won't Be Silenced. It started as a letter writing campaign about a year ago that had evolved to protest outside of Postal Board of Governors quarterly meetings. And then it pretty much grew. You know, like I said, our concerns were the delay in mail, plant consolidations, and some of these disastrous elements. One of the biggest things that affected rural, you know, the rural residents were, you know, the plan was aiming to reduce truck trips by consolidating mail and parcel pickups and drop-off sites to once a day in the morning, where, you know, they were claiming that it was going to improve efficiency, but it was disproportionately affecting other rural communities where reliable and frequent mail service is crucial, like medications.
Sure.
Is you know, important to many people. And that's just one little small thing. Rural residents all, you know, we know that they often rely on, you know, those timely essential services like that, paying their bills and other, and relying on that, accessing other government services. Small businesses have been affected by these elements in their areas because they depend on USPS shipping for products.
Well, let me ask you a question, James, because I went to my post office yesterday, and there's, I guess there's new hours. They were open till 3:30, right? I didn't know why, and I didn't know until I got there, because we got there at 3:45, okay? And, you know, a lot of these things that are happening that are getting bestowed upon your members, okay, this workforce, okay, and what's difficult is the public, you know, we're doing the best we can. You guys are doing a phenomenal job getting the word out. But the truth is, you know, how much of the public, you know, is in a sense getting, you know, snowballed by this administration and this, you know, this Louis DeJoy and the postmaster. All these things are getting pushed upon you, and most of the public doesn't even know it. And they're kind of taking it out on the workforce who really have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the biggest challenge is getting awareness to the public, to the everyday, you know, American or, you know, citizen in the country, is getting them, you know, bringing them awareness to this, because on the surface they think, okay, you know, those Postal Service people or bums or whatever, they don't understand that our hands are tied as employees. Our members are employees that we represent across the board, you know, clerks, maintenance employees, you know, truck drivers. And I'm sure it goes for anybody who works for the post office that deals with customer service. You know, we want to get the mail out. That's our job, and we want to get the mail out. We don't care about, you know, the overtime and stuff. We enjoy getting the mail out, and that's what we do.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you got people working around the clock. I mean, and my wife is saying, well, we just got to work at our mail at 6:30 at night, and I'm like, that person's working all day, probably doing somebody else's shift or somebody that they didn't hire. I mean, these people are out there working like there's no tomorrow. And I really believe that the American people have no idea that, in a lot of ways, I think you mentioned a conspiracy. That's not a joke. That's like, in other words, who would ever hear that your own postmaster general would inflict such standards? I think we've talked about shout out to Vince Tarducci, who was used to have your job, and now he's with the International. But Vince is, shouting off the top of the mountain, as you are, about some of these things that are getting bestowed on your members, okay, that is just so unfair. Now, what is the spirit of the members?
I think that it's really, some people are optimistic, some people get discouraged, I think, because your example that you just experienced with the office, with the different hours being changed.
Yeah.
I can give you an example too, where I have an office that near me, and we don't represent them, but, you know, I'm a customer there. Half the time they're not even open if someone calls out. So everybody's got to go 2 miles down the road to another post office. And the postmaster has said that, you know, our staffing's fine. We have good staffing across the board. Our staffing is not fine. Right. And if someone calls out and that office can't open, that's a result of poor staffing.
And it reflects, unfortunately, it reflects on the workforce, and I know the workforce is jumping up and down. Joe Krause, I know you wanted to jump in.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, and maybe James DeRitter's our special guest here in the opening half hour of the Labor Show. James, maybe I'm off base with this, so correct me if I am, but my perception of how the public respects and appreciates the post office and the postal workers is very high. I think, and me included, I have great respect for my carriers. I appreciate the work that the workers do. And I think in general, I think everybody does. Is that a far-fetched statement for me to make? Am I missing the perception there?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think the general notion, I mean, listen, the Postal Service was derived out of the U.S. Constitution, right? So we're a public entity. We're not a private company that, like UPS or FedEx, basically. We've been around for, hundreds of years now at this point, and we're aimed to serve the public. So it's one of these things. I don't think you don't want it to become a right, I guess, to say that, the Postal Service is a right that everybody has access to, easy access to, and affordable. The, stamp is 73 cents for the mail first class postage, right? That's still cheaper than other countries across the world, the mail first class.
My brother-in-law were sitting with us on this conversation, he would say, I can't believe that for 75 cents, I can send a first class piece of mail from here to my son who lives in San Diego, and it'll be delivered to him within a short period of time for 75 cents. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
In some ways, when you think about that, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. Now, on the flip side, is, the Postal Service proposing to raise the rates, five times over, the short duration of time. I think it's over a couple of years. I think that's, a little excessive, where you're kind of killing people relying on first class, mail to do, to mail their bills versus paying them electronically and stuff. But, they like to say that, it's evolved to the, package industry, but still we have competitive rates. You just don't want the entity of the Postal Service being a right that everybody has taken for granted for so long without speaking out on some of these disastrous plans.
And James, let me jump in because we only have a minute left.
Yeah.
Contract negotiations, where are you there?
So right now we did what they call stop the clock. National agreed with the Post Office to stop the clock, so the last contract, the 2018 to 2024 contract, has, we're still under those guidelines. It didn't expire. Where there's still negotiations, the letter carriers contract is being sent out for a tentative agreement to their membership. We're monitoring that because obviously that's going to have some impact of what we are going to be doing. So, we're still in negotiations right now, though.
Well, listen, let's do this. I know we were going to talk about needing postal legislation passed in order to save the Postal Service, and that is so important. Where are we with that? I mean, literally speaking, we need a movement and people to talk about, because Joe Krause is right. I mean, everybody in my neighborhood loves our mailmen, okay, and mail women, and is there any possible legislation coming on to change some of these things?
I think we need some introduced. Now, it's going to be tough with this upcoming
new administration,
with the House and the Senate being controlled by the Republicans, how that is at the point in time. But one of the big things right now that we're monitoring is on December 10th, the U.S. House is holding an oversight hearing in regard to the USPS. So that's something to monitor. The PRC, the Postal Regulatory Committee, just had a couple hearing days with the Joy. So people are, they we know something's got to change. We just want it to, remain a public entity, not some private organization.
Exactly. And so listen, we want to thank you, obviously, for what you're doing on behalf of your members. Okay. You are a young vocal leader. We appreciate it. We're a platform for you, and we appreciate your members. Okay. And what you do every day. James DeRitter, President, American Postal Workers Union Local 7048. A shout out to Vince Tarducci. James, thanks so much for joining the Labor Show.
Hey, thanks again, guys, for having me on.
All right. Happy holidays, my friend. We're going to have more after the break.
My name is Joe Williams, business manager of Elevator Constructors Local 5. Every day, countless lives are devastated in our country at the hands of the opioid epidemic. Whether sparked by a pain-related work injury or other issues, many of those afflicted are family members, friends, and coworkers. It may even be you in desperate need of help. No one is immune to the effects of this terrible disease. If you or someone you know or love is suffering from addiction to opioids or other substances, don't wait another day to reach out to someone and seek help. Tell a friend, a family member, or a professional now and get the support you need like your life depends on it, because it does. Remember, it's not where you start the race that counts, it's that you finish it that matters most. I'm Joe Williams of Elevator Constructors Local 5. I'm a labor leader and labor cares.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com.
District Council 33 President Ernest Garrett and the entire executive board would like to thank you, the members of APSME DC 33. Their mission is simple. They consistently fight for and secure the best wages, benefits, and working conditions for members. And they stand ready in support of public service workers' rights and benefits and hold politicians accountable for their actions. District Council 33, Ernest Garrett, President.
CWA District 213, sir.
And we're back here on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Good to be with you on a Saturday night, or on a Saturday afternoon, J-Doc, running into the running quickly, show moving by quickly. Special thanks to James DeRitter for joining us in the first half.
Absolutely, and certainly lots going on there. Loved the love that we can bring the American people and the citizens of Philadelphia into what's going on at the Postal Worker Union at this point in time during our holiday season. Because God knows they're not getting any help from their Postmaster General. I'm ecstatic to bring into the program Wendell Young, the fourth president, UFCW, 1776. Wendell's no stranger to the program. He's one of our favorite labor leaders, one of the most vocal labor leaders in the state of Pennsylvania and across the country. Wendell, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Thanks for inviting me on today.
It's always a pleasure. Always great to have you, and so much to talk about. Nobody's more passionate that, on behalf of their members than Wendell Young is, we're at our end of the year broadcasts, and I can't think.
J-Doc, let me say this. I didn't mean to cut you off, but Wendell Young's members always seem to be the most important members at whatever time of year it is, including the holiday. It's just unbelievable the amount of commitment that his members must make on a monthly basis, especially in the month of December. It's incredible.
I mean, that's a fact, but also even going back to the pandemic, like the heroes in the world. Okay, and we love our first responders and all, but they were extended to and took a whole new meaning, the word hero, when you talk about individuals that were working on the front lines, especially when no one knew what was going on. And so Wendell has done a fantastic job, and so that's well said, Joe. Wendell, let's talk a little bit of a year in review. You and I and Joe had several broadcasts, very meaningful situations. Talk about 2024 and a little bit about what you and your members experienced, and highlights, tough points. Give a little recap, if you would.
First, I want to thank both of you for your gracious comments about the work our members do. Our union is a very diverse union. We represent people in retail food, pharmacies, the Pennsylvania Wine and Spirits stores. They're in food processing, slaughterhouses, case-ready packing houses. We process meat, food, fruits, vegetables. We work in nursing homes, offices, manufacturing. Some of the work's very dangerous. All of it's very difficult and under tough circumstances. No tougher than what they went through in the pandemic, working in close proximity with the public and retail environments, and many people under one roof, and all essential workers who had to go to work, and so that the rest of us could have the services, products, food, medicine that we need. And I forgot to mention, the area we've been organizing in lately, cannabis, both the processing grow facilities and the dispensing or retail facilities. So, what our year looked like, we represent about 35,000 workers throughout Pennsylvania. This year, like all, is a busy year. About a third of our contracts are up every year. We have 120 different labor agreements. We had 56 contracts at the bargaining table throughout the year.
Wow.
38 of them were ratified. That represented over 7,000 members whose contracts were in play, some of them still in the bargaining process. And, we settled contracts this year covering over 5,000 members. So in any one of those different trades I just mentioned. So, for our team here at the local, we got a great team. A little over 70 people in admin and out in the field doing this work for our members. And we're capping off the end of the year with a couple of big organizing drives. One right here in the Delaware Valley, a very notable one, Whole Foods of Philadelphia, the store out by the Art Museum. The workers there have worked very hard to put together an organizing committee within their store. They've got a large and solid committee. They've been talking with us throughout the year about organizing the store so they could be represented by a union and have a contract and collectively bargain. And just this week on Thursday, we had a meeting with the NLRB here in Philadelphia and reached an agreement with the employer and the NLRB for an election to be held in January on January 27th, 2025. So while it's been a very busy year, we're also capping it off with, which is a big deal to Whole Foods, because it will be when this election's done and these workers have achieved representation, it'll be the first union store in Whole Foods owned by Amazon. So we're really excited about this.
And what's interesting,
Wendell, how quickly will that movement spread to the other Whole Food locations? Is that something that would happen automatically, or is that something that would become the same process as this one store was?
So Amazon, who owns Whole Food, has faced organizing in other places, including some Whole Food stores. To date, those efforts, some have been successful in that. For example, the big distribution center in New York City more than a year ago organized. But the company's been fighting it and putting up legal hurdles and delays. So they've still not begun negotiations at all, even though the union won. In some other locations, the company defeated the union with very aggressive anti-union campaigns. Some of that's still the subject of litigation. But what Amazon's latest tactic is, and it parallels and is in sync with, Donald Trump's Project 2025, is they have filed just recently lawsuits in another district court in this country, along with Tesla. Elon Musk, SpaceX, I believe technically it is, challenge the legitimacy and the structure of the NLRB. They're saying it's unconstitutional. And this gets to the problem for workers who have representation and the workers who seek representation, because while Donald Trump has claimed that Project 2025 is nothing to do with him, clearly he is hiring and working with and nominating many of the authors and architects of 2025. And there's a whole lot of material in Project 2025, the playbook for the Trump administration, that has to do with getting rid of the NLRB or stripping of it, of its ability to adequately and properly represent workers. And so, you know, his billionaire friends that he's promised much to, like the owners of these big companies, you know, are also engaging this litigation. So, you know, what we expect to see with Trump after inauguration is some appointments at the board. Some of them may be illegal. Doesn't really matter, I guess, to Donald Trump. Some of the things he's talking about is illegal, because he has executive immunity. And then you also have these billionaire friends of his advancing these litigation strategies that are aimed to accomplish the same thing he says he wants to. And so they're on parallel but separate tracks. And so it's going to be, I think, for a little while after Inauguration Day, the Wild Wild West, which is why it was important for us to get this election early, get an agreement to have the election. So that'll happen, and we can get about negotiating a contract, the first contract.
Wendell, let me ask you, it's exciting when I hear that you have Whole Food workers that want to organize. And this, like you said, is a historic, okay, because it will have never been done in the United States in regards to a Whole Foods, okay? Having said that, you know, I think I read in the paper a couple of weeks ago that doctors at one of the area hospitals are wanting to organize.
Number of the hospitals. It was five different hospitals.
So there you go. And what's that message say? So you're talking about individuals that.
So let me get right to the point. Whether it's doctors or employees of Whole Foods or anyone else anywhere else, building trades anywhere. There has been, at least compared to the last 40 plus years, a record number of elections for representation during the Biden administration for union representation, and a record number of wins. It's been the best time for labor. Joe Biden is clearly the best president for working families and labor unions this country's ever had. And the evidence is in the fact that even without congressional action to change labor laws, through his powers as president, his appointment powers at the NLRB and the DOL, he's fostered an environment that have given workers a fairer hand. And when given a fair hand and little or no interference from the employer, they overwhelmingly elect unions. And the business crowd is angry about this. The billionaire crowd are angry about it because – you know, they'll have less tens or hundreds of billions of dollars of their own. And they really don't like this. And it's why they've cobbled around Donald Trump you know, let's face it. They want lower taxes. They want less regulation. And a big part of that less regulation is they want to get rid of the protections, allow workers to form and join and unions and negotiate contracts.
So
we are seriously close with Donald Trump's election to seeing that come true.
So having said that, okay, you know, I'm sitting here connecting the dots, right? Because you'd never, you know, we get stereotyped a lot as a union community. Everybody thinks we're all construction workers, which I was, but obviously it's way more diverse than that. You represent a massive, you know, membership, of a diverse number of workers that aren't construction workers. However, you never think about people out there who stereotype union workers, okay, just in general, they think we're all hard hats. In their wildest dreams, okay, they would never think that doctors, okay, want to organize. But let me throw something at you and the people.
Actually, Joe, doctors have been trying to do this for a long, long time, and some have done it successfully in the more recent decade or so. They've done this within mostly, I believe it's SEIU for the most part. The problem, though, is historically doctors were in a class of employees that were excluded from having the right to belong to and form unions. But, you know, the Biden administration has acted to make that a reality for more doctors as time has gone on. And that's why you see more of it now. I think the interest has been there and the desire has been there, but the law hasn't been. And Biden really helped with this process.
Well, it's interesting, though, but putting two and two together, very interesting. So as we know, we've done many shows on this topic, but a lot of hospitals are owned by hedge funds. Okay. And that's why, we've had some of the unions that represent the nurses, okay, and the healthcare workers on the shows. Joe Krause, man, I think it was Chester Crozier, one of those hospitals. There was a labor dispute there. Okay. And imagine your loved ones going to a hospital where there's profit. The priority's profits over healing and treating patients. Profits over patients. And your loved one goes to a hospital, and they're coming through in an ambulance, and they're understaffed. Okay, one nurse to a four. Whatever. Now it makes sense. Now you have doctors. Like Wendell said, it's been going on a long time. But when hospitals are prioritizing, at least the administrators of profits over patients, you can now see why the first place they want to go and the first thing they want to do is unionize, so they have a voice like the rest of ours. Having said that, Wendell, let's talk a little bit about the expectations in the coming year. Okay, you and I had a nice conversation about it before we came on the air today. We don't have to speculate and wonder what could happen. We just have to look at history when it comes to working people. Let's talk expectations next 4 years when it comes to working people in the face of an administration that prioritizes, billionaires.
So let me start by saying this is a really frustrating time, because the reality is that a lot of workers, a lot of union workers voted for Donald Trump. I'm not saying it's a majority. Polls suggest it was not a majority, but it was way too close. Here in Pennsylvania, some of the polling information I've seen suggested that 57% of union workers voted for Kamala Harris. And the balance less than majority for Donald Trump. But that's too close, considering what's at stake and what Donald Trump represents. And I know this could be fighting terms for some union members, including some of my union members who voted for Donald Trump. And I think our union, we did some polling right before the election and with an outside polling firm. And I believe my union voted in much higher number than 57%, but still disturbed by the amount of people that were willing to support Donald Trump. And the reason I say that is, in today's world, people don't read newspapers. People actually don't read journalism. Most people get their information off of their cell phone or iPad or computer. They don't distinguish between what's news and what's information or entertainment or misinformation. They tend to want to believe. There is an old saying in journalism, the authority of the printed word, and I believe that's extended to the digital universe we're in, where people think that just because it's on the internet, it must be true.
Right.
Remember, that's why in the last century, people thought that Mars was actually attacking us, Mystery Theater did that thing about Orson Welles theater. So the point is, it's really hard to fight that misinformation when it's so well-funded. When someone like Elon Musk writes a $277 million check to fund that kind of stuff and buys up, along with other billionaires, a lot of that space in the information sphere. And so that's really hard to fight. But it's really frustrating, because our members, they expect and deserve a lot from us when it comes to their wages, their benefits, their retirement security, their job security. And all of us that I know in this business, union representatives are really trying to do the right thing. We're having both our hands tied behind our back, because when you look at it, we don't have to think about what the next, 4 years is going to be like. Donald Trump tried to do a lot in the first term, that he hit some walls. And because of that, he's now claims he's going to break through those barriers, that he's going to make sure he puts the right people in place. He's going to fire the people, illegally fire the people in the agencies that thwarted his efforts in the past. You know, he has no respect for the law. He's proven that his whole life. He's a criminal. He's a convicted criminal. He's a rapist. The sexual assault charge he was found guilty of is rape. All right. That is what they call rape in that state. And despite that, Americans went and elected this guy. Now, what are the things he's talked about he wants to do? Well, you don't have to look very far. Just go look at Project 2025, because even if you ignore that document, it matches exactly the things that Donald Trump says he wants to do. I mean, just this August, he did a 3-hour interview with Elon Musk on Elon's podcast, where, you know, Donald Trump got outright giddy on the radio podcast about talking about the methods Elon Musk used against his workers to prevent them from having their rights recognized to be represented by a union, and how he fired people for exercising their rights. And Donald Trump enthusiastically applauded that and said, yeah, that's the way I like to do it. And he's talking about doing that in government agencies across the board. He's talking about the same things that Project 2025 talks about. So whether it's employees' rights to organize, whether it's their rights to collectively bargain, to have those contracts be honored. I mean, if you look at the list of things, you know, it's as simple as giving the employer right to break the contract anytime in the middle of the contract. Donald Trump supports that. Not recognizing for the many building trades people, you know, and Teamsters and UFCW members, you know, that thought it was okay to vote for this guy. You know, he wants to get rid of ACA. You know, one of the reasons that our healthcare benefits have been affordable in more recent years is because there's now insurance for the tens of millions of people that didn't have it before. And when they didn't have it, that hit our trust funds. And where their employer provided benefits through contracts, the cost ended up there. You know, if he accomplishes diluting or getting rid of ACA, it's going to cost all of us more money for our healthcare. Because all those people without insurance will then end up in the ER, and we end up paying for that, the rest of us who have insurance. Pension security. He wants to dismantle the safety nets on Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. He wants to cap the lifetime amount of benefits you can get in a number of these programs at a time when people are living longer, right?
Right.
So, the ability to challenge your union mid-contract and say, I don't think you represent a majority anymore, so I'm going to ignore your contract. Go ahead and prove, you know, and make you, and with no limit on how many times you could do that. These are the kind of things he wants to do. He wants to fire, Donald Trump wants to fire all of the administrative law judges in the NLRB and the board members at the NLRB and replace them with his sycophants. Who are not going to have experience in labor law, or aren't going to bother following the current law just to do his bidding. And this is going to gum the system up. It's going to deny people their rights that were established nearly 100 years ago. And I can go on and on and on. I know we don't have enough time in this show, but, you know, there's easily 30 other things I could talk about right now. And I'm not imagining. I'm looking at the list of things that Donald Trump has set out as his goals to do to workers. And you know, I thought it was really bad when Ronald Reagan got elected because of his view towards labor. And we know, you know, my lifetime, the biggest loss of rights, not only for workers through their unions, but also the middle class in terms of the kind of supports to be able to own a home, send your kids to college, occurred because of Ronald Reagan. I know a lot of people don't believe that because they love the guy, but it's true. And I remember after he got elected, I was pretty young. It was the first presidential election. I was old enough to vote. I asked my dad, like, why did people do this? And he just said, you know, Wendell, sometimes people need to get what they asked for.
Right.
And they got it, you know, because we have paid for that for 40 years. Trickle-down economics didn't work. Middle class shrunk the most ever in modern times, right? Ever in the history of our country, right? Our country had always been building middle class. It built it at a better rate than ever post-World War II. And then we saw a lot of that decline and diminish because of the policies that Ronald Reagan promulgated. Well, Donald Trump is like Ronald Reagan in a zombie movie who's going crazy.
And let's do this, because we only got a minute left. I mean, literally, and you're right, we have about, we're kind of joking today, how many hours do we have? Okay, you know, literally not enough time. But having said that, you know, you're right, project labor agreements, labor peace agreements, all these things that we've worked.
All those illegal. Donald Trump wants to eliminate, make illegal project labor agreements.
Okay.
He wants to get rid of the Fair Labor Standards Act. That'll kill construction industry.
Yeah. And to me, and we tried to educate, you know, our members as best as we could. You know, the next show, and we're going to be doing a lot. We got to make sure it doesn't happen again. Wendell Young, President, UFCW 1776. Thank you so much for being on the show, my friend.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, everybody. Have a great holiday.
Awesome. Joe Krause.
Happy holidays, Wendell. Yeah, happy holidays, Wendell. Thank you very much. That's going to do it for this edition of The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause, this live edition of The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. We thank everybody for tuning in. Don't forget, next week we'll be right back here live on a Saturday afternoon. Good stuff, J-Doc. Thank you, brother.
You got it, Joe. Take care, everybody.
See you next time, everybody.